It's time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
Okay, we're talking about spiritually flatlining. What does that mean? That means that there's no activity going on spiritually inside your life. And we identified last time about how one of the reasons for that is because we tend to artificially prop up our spirituality with emotions. And we think that as long as I feel it, God's really moving, man. Did you feel how God was moving today? And everything's based upon how we feel. Based upon what we do in our spiritual life is based upon the level of emotion that we feel for it. And, you know, you can kind of take that to the next level. And we talked about those emotions, how we're enslaved to our emotions here last time. But, you know, you can take it a step further to where people can say, it's not so much what I'm really emoting or feeling, it's what I sense in my spirit. And they reduce the Christian life, or rather transfer the Christian life, to an area of the mystical. And everything becomes subjective. And if there is one thing that has eaten the church alive today, it's personal subjectivity. Everything, we've taken this whole idea of a personal relationship with God, which is a great thing, although, you know, in Scripture, especially in the New Testament and the Old Testament, it's all about a corporate relationship with God. Not all about, but it's muchly about that. In the Old Testament, it's about the Jews and their collective relationship with God. In the New Testament, it's about the church and her relationship with God. And yes, the churches and churches are comprised of individuals, but when Paul talks to the churches, he uses you plural many times. So he's addressing the church, which is why we ought to feel a part of a body of Christ, because that's who our identity, that's where our identity is. But there's also a personal relationship, obviously, with Jesus Christ. There's a one-on-one dynamic happening there. You don't deny that, obviously. But because of this whole addiction to personal relationship mentality, we somehow think we can custom make our relationship with God, and ours can be completely different than everybody else's, even when it comes to understanding the Scripture. And it kind of goes like this, is that a lot of people believe that the essence, now get this, that the essence of the Christian life and of walking with God really boils down to the impressions that you get in your spirit, or the feelings you get in your heart, or the random thoughts that pop into your mind, or even external stimuli out there in the world prompting you. And what those things do is they end up altering and reinterpreting how you relate to God. And so you have a thought in your mind and you say to yourself, well, that must be from God. Or you sense something in your spirit and you think that must be from God. Or you see something out in the world, everything from, you know, a billboard to a rock in the shape of a heart. And you go, wow, that must be, God must be trying to tell me something. The question is he? And how do you delineate and discern between a random thought and something coming from God? How do you do that? How do you know if a thought you have in your mind of something that you're supposed to do, or you just have a thought about helping someone, or thought about making a decision or going somewhere as it relates to your spiritual life, how do you know that thought is from God, or it could be from you, or perhaps even from Satan? How do you delineate that? How do you know that? Well, the question is, or the question becomes rather, you cannot really know these things unless you have trained your minds and your senses, your mind and your senses, with spiritual discernment. Now, I'm not saying that every single thing in life is going to be clear to you. Sometimes I'll get a thought in my head, or an impression, or sense a leading in my spirit, and instead of just running after it I have to test it. I have to see whether or not this thing is coming from God. And the main way that I do that, obviously, is with Scripture. The second way I do that is to determine whether or not God wants me to use my resources, my time, or my abilities, or my money, or those things, and allocate those resources toward this impression, toward this sense, toward this thought in my mind. Or if God's, if I say, well, I don't have the time, I don't have the resources, I don't have the ability to go here and to do this. And sometimes I'll say, well, then I don't think God wants me to do that. And then other times I will say, I think God wants me to trust him for that. Like the last time that I went to the Philippines, I was pretty sure I wanted to, I knew that I wanted to go back to the Philippines, but the resources weren't there. So if you just go by the external stimuli about how your relationship with God is, what you should do with him, and the resources aren't there, you just conclude, well, we're not supposed to do it. Why? Because the resources aren't there. But in my case, I decided, no, even though there are zero resources for this, I believe God has called me to do this, therefore I'm going to do it. The same is true for an upcoming trip to Italy to speak at a prophecy conference in May. No resources. Guess what? I believe God is calling us to go over there and help the believers, the remnant believers in Italy. Therefore, I'm trusting him for the resource. So sometimes the external stimuli has to be internalized so that you can pray about it, so that you can discern whether or not this is something you just need to trust God for by faith, even though you can't see how it's going to happen, or whether it's something you simply need to dismiss. And y'all, we get these random thoughts all the time. We don't spiritualize them all. We don't all say, you know, well, this is from God, this is from, you know, whatever. But what happens is, and here's where the problem comes in, is when our default mode, now hear me out, when our default mode is simply this mystical, subjective thinking, kind of flowing back and forth with God, and we have these impressions in our hearts and minds. And yes, you know, Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. But think about what the Spirit is doing there, though. It also says in Romans 8, for as many as are led by the Spirit, those are the sons of God. So yeah, God does lead us inwardly. But he always does so based upon our level of maturity as we know the Word. Because the more we have the mind of Christ, which is the Bible, okay? God's heart is found in the Bible. That's where you find God's heart. If you want to know whether or not God really loves you, I mean, if you want to really know if God loves you, read the Bible. Don't just hope that he loves you emotionally and then convince yourself to feel it emotionally and then say, well, I'm loved by God. that's like, you know, eating your own tail, okay? It's just circular reasoning. Don't simply look for external confirmation in the world of God's love for you, because here's how that works. You could go out and have an absolutely rotten day. People are horrible to you. You have a flat tire. Things are going wrong. You know, the bills are high, but the income is low. I mean, you have all these things going on in your life and conclude from that, God must not love me. So you can't look at external stimuli. By the same token, just because you're walking on a trail and you find a rock in the shape of a heart, you can't just automatically conclude, oh, look, I found a heart-shaped rock. God must love me. Are you kidding me? You're getting truth from rocks now? A famous author actually did that, by the way. No, you get your truth from the Bible. And whether something good or bad happens in life or not. Now, obviously, every good and perfect gift is from the Father above. James 1:17 tells us. So when good things do happen to you, yes, it is God's way of blessing you and demonstrating his love. But when bad things happen to you, it's not God's way of withholding his love. So you can't always just use circumstances as a way to gauge your spirituality, and you can't use these impressions in your heart and the things, the stimuli that you get in the world to always determine whether or not God is speaking to you, okay? And so we need this unchanging GPS point. So watch out for those emotions. Watch out for those impressions. You got to judge them. You got to discern them. You've got to gauge them against the word. And then a third way that we flatline is that it's just based on just desire. Now, as I said before, a lot of times our emotions affect our desires, but sometimes it's not really an emotional thing. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the will. And let's be honest, you just don't want to anymore. You know, it's not just that you don't feel like it. You actually don't want to. And sometimes that is an issue of sin. Sometimes we want to do what is wrong. We want to do what our flesh tells us to do, want to follow the world. And, you know, if you read, if you just flip through up and down through your Instagram feed, if you're on Instagram, you'll find all kinds of people in the world having a whole lot more fun than you are, and they don't know Jesus. And I'm not talking about sinful fun. I'm just talking about fun, you know? And you think about your life and the life that God has given to you, and you just simply don't desire the life God's given to you anymore. You want their life. And that's called envy and greed. But anyway, that's another subject. The point being is that you and I are, as Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Sometimes the flesh, the spirit is weak as well. And one of the reasons why, this is just one reason, why our desire, our souls, our spirits have weak desires towards God is that we haven't properly nourished our souls. In other words, if you don't feed a dog, if you don't feed your baby or feed yourself for weeks on end, you're not going to be able to go out and take that hike or do that run or chop that wood or whatever it is that you're going to do, because you're going to be physically malnourished. Well, when our souls and our spirits are malnourished, and when I say malnourished, I mean they haven't been fed the Word of God. When that happens, you're spiritually weak, and your spiritual weakness is seen through your lack of desire or the low level of your desire toward the things of God. And sometimes, as I've said before, sometimes churches feed to that because they're not really giving you any solid meat to chew on. They're just giving you pre-mixed baby formula, and you know, you're beyond that. You need solid food. And other times you don't choose to feed yourself. But when you go without eating, when you go without church, when you go without fellowship, when you go without being in the Word, when you go without hearing the Word being taught or preached for weeks and sometimes months on end, and then you wonder why you're so spiritually unmoved by God. You wonder why the things that are really firing up other Christians and getting them excited about God, they don't affect you. And you and I become this way too, okay? But we become dull of hearing. We become insensitive to the touch of God. And even if God does try to whisper those impressions in our hearts and in our minds, as I talked about earlier, we're not listening. You know why? Because we're listening to something. We've got our frequency tuned somewhere else. We're listening to what the world tells us to do, what our sinful heart tells us to do, what others tell us to do, but we're not listening to what God commands us to do. And so that spiritual malnourishment is a direct cause sometimes of our desires being low towards God, okay? And that's why Scripture says in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give to you the desires of your heart that you need to have. And it begins with delighting ourselves in Him by making a choice, listen to this, by faith. Making a choice by faith to follow Him even when the desire is not there. And again, you do things in life you don't want to do, but you know you have to do. And you know you should do. Why? Because of legalism? No, because you know it's good for you in the long run. And so that's the way our desire towards God goes. And sometimes we simply just have to suck it up spiritually and do it anyway. And so when we don't do that, as I said, we end up with our tanks empty. We end up flatlining. And, you know, it doesn't matter who preaches. It doesn't matter you know, what you hear musically from a Christian's perspective, it can't nothing jumpstart your heart. That only the Holy Spirit can do that. And friends, that's why we have to give ourselves to God every day. We have to surrender ourselves afresh and anew every day. And we are human beings, as I said in the last podcast, we're human beings, and so we're weak naturally, and our desires they ping, you know, all over the chart, you know, naturally. And sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down, sometimes we feel like it, sometimes we don't. But knowing that's the nature of things, wouldn't we want to strengthen ourselves so that we at least begin to even out these waters so that they're not so choppy all the time? I mean, wouldn't we want to take this roller coaster and just flatten it out a little bit more where there are just some bumps and hills along the way? But, you know, on the whole, you know, we're riding on horizontal ground here. And I believe we can achieve that. I mean, I'm not as spiritually volatile as I have been at other times in my life. There have been seasons. You know, when you attempt something for God, when you start a ministry and whatever, you plant a church or you start a Bible study, whatever it is you want to do for God, you're trying to, you know, do something consistently with your life, then eventually you're going to hit walls. It's like entering the promised land. You're going to find there's some villains there in the promised land waiting on you. So there's always that test that you have. And sometimes the test comes every week. Sometimes it comes daily in our lives. But you and I can't gauge our spiritual life by the level of our desire. Sometimes even when the desire is not there, we have to close our eyes and by faith tell God, I'm going to open my Bible and I'm going to ask you to speak to me. Even though I don't really care about doing it right now, or I don't really care about getting up and going to be with other believers and being fed your word and risking vulnerability, risking transparency, risking that the Holy Spirit may speak to me, risking that I may be asked or called upon to do something for God or for His kingdom when I go to church. I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy, but God did not say, you know, that if we followed Him, that this would be a cruise. It's going to be hard at times. Sometimes it is relatively easy, depending on the circumstances. Other times it's relatively hard, positively hard, and really impossible. And that's why we need Him and the power of the Holy Spirit to help us gear our minds up and give us the strength that we need in order to carry on. And that's why, you know, that's why Paul said in Philippians, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances that I was in. I know how to get along with humble means. I know how to live in prosperity. Any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And that, my friend, is the key, is that we can't drum it up. We can't grit our teeth. We can't just have a stiff upper lip. There's none of that in the Christian life. There's none of that in Scripture. It's all about learning to depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that's what Ephesians 5:18 says. It says to be filled with the Spirit, to be influenced by the Spirit, to be controlled by the Spirit. And the way we do that is just simply allow Him to do that, as we surrender our lives daily. And when we do that, we find ourselves with the ability to do what we did not think we could do. And as we are climbing up this jagged mountain called life, then what happens is that every now and then we turn around and we look down the mountain and we're amazed at how far we've come. But it happens one step at a time, one day at a time, and it happens by learning to depend upon the Holy Spirit for His strength and for His provision when A, the emotions are not there, when B, we're not sensing anything of God in our life at all, and C, when our desires are completely, I mean, sometimes totally gone. But we will find, and you'll find in your life, that if you just walk by faith, if you continue to do what you're supposed to do, even when those things aren't around, then eventually what's going to happen is eventually you're going to start having that desire more And the emotions will come. Don't worry about the emotions. Eventually they'll come. But we have to make a conscious choice to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to allow His Holy Spirit to empower us every day. Maybe you need that power right now. Maybe this podcast has caught you at a low ebb, at a low moment when you are flatlining. My friend, you're not dead, okay? You're not dead because you're still listening. And if you're listening, then you can ask God to empower you and to fill you with His Holy Spirit. And when you do that, you're going to find you're going to be able to do things you never thought you could do in your life. So don't worry about flatlining. Just lean upon the Lord and make a decision to do it daily. And you're going to get through this. Have a heartbeat. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.